The Gary Knoll Show, daily at noon on the Progressive Radio Network.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Knoll Show. And now, your host, Gary Knoll.
Love, you got the power, but you just don't understand.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll, and I'd like to welcome you to this program, broadcasting live and streaming video live from our studios in New York City. You can go to ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com or GaryKnoll.com if you'd like to watch. Today, I've decided not to have a guest. We have a whole lineup of conversations with remarkable minds that will be on tomorrow and all next week. Instead, I wanted to give you a choice of issues to address. I really respect the intelligence, insight, and common sense of this audience. Every day I'm able to communicate by email and see over our Facebook what people are thinking and sharing. And by the way, for our Facebook, this is not a normal social media Facebook. Its value, and the only reason I'm doing it, is a gathering place for people who are interested in social change in a positive way, sharing articles, videos, comments on issues, calls to action, and bring us information that we need to know. For example, I didn't know until one of our audience informed us about the woman who had been taken from her home forcibly by the police, institutionalized, and given electroconvulsive therapy. Because of that, we were able to get Mind Freedom and a lot of other people who were on the scene and join forces and had thousands and thousands of letters and phone calls flood in to Al Franken's office in a polite manner so it didn't offend his staff. And he, in turn, has gotten involved. So that all came through our Facebook. So we have a lot of people. Please only use the Facebook for socially relevant issues, not about your personal life or what you ate today, but things that can help us all. I have three different audio recordings I'm going to share with you today after our health and nutrition. After that, not before, I'll give you our number, and I value your comments. Call in and share your points of view. I respect all different points of view because we can learn from each other. Now let's go to the latest issues on health and healing. Oh, by the way, it's taken me a while because the science, I wanted to be very exacting and have all the support. But I have created the new health pyramid. Now, this is a challenge to the existing, completely false pyramid. In fact, I put their pyramid beside this pyramid. And this, their pyramid, leads to heart disease, diabetes, obesity, cancer, and most other illnesses. But this is the diet that dietitians, nurses, and physicians have been giving patients for decades. It is all based upon corporate science. And then I have the new pyramid. How many servings from each level of the pyramid, from each group, to maintain optimal wellness. Those will be posted by tomorrow on ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com's site so that you can download them. I've sent it out to dietitians, American Dietetic Association, USDA, physicians, MIT Nutrition Department. I've sent it to about 100 places and asked for their comments and feedback. But hopefully this will allow those who are vegans, vegetarians, or those choosing a healthy diet to at least start off knowing that the information that they're choosing from is the right information. So that's good. It's finally done. And it didn't take a government 10 years to do it. The latest from WikiLeaks, it involves health. It's generally genetically modified organisms. And this is from Chris Boom, and it talks about the conspiracy. This was a Big C conspiracy. Why? Because, just a little background, Monsanto, DuPont's, and other corporations involved in creating genetically engineered seeds have been for decades buying up small seed companies, including organic seed companies, and then just either absorbing them into their company and destroying their stock so the inventory is no longer available, in order to sell only their patented seeds. And some of these seeds are called terminator seeds or suicide seeds, meaning you can only grow it once. Now, as a farmer, and as a farmer my entire adult life, I farm now. In fact, when I'm at my home, almost every day, a large part of what I eat, and certainly everything I juice, comes out of my garden. And I also have a large exotic fruit trees collection, about 147 different types of fruit, fruits you've never seen before, that I grow, and then I work with re-stemming them and grafting to make unusual types of fruits. Like, I've made a new type of cherry. It tastes like ambrosia. I call it an ambrosia cherry. And I'm working with jackfruit to make a jackfruit that is used as a vegetable when it's green and as a fruit when it's not, easily dried in both forms. So that's one of my hobbies. So I work with the soil, and I try different things. What I've noticed over my career in farming is the variety of different plants that have diminished. I remember when I bought my first farm upstate, I couldn't afford much, and my brother and I bought it, Howard and Steve, my brothers. It was a, today I wouldn't buy that particular farm because there was no soil. I had to clean out a local pond in order to have any topsoil, but in time it did, and it was a research farm in time. A lot of people from this audience came out and visited in the summertime, which was nice. But there were at least 43 different types of apple trees on the property when I bought it. And some of those were really old. And an 80-year-old woman who had lived right next to the farm that whole time, remember when she was a child, they were old trees, but always bearing fruit. And I'd go out, and they were kind of gnarly and had scabs on them, which is okay. Doesn't take away from the nutrition of them. But each one had a uniquely different taste and crunch and mouthfeel. Today, we have seen these large numbers, hundreds and hundreds of different varieties of apples, reduced down to about 30. We've seen even a greater reduction in grapes. And did you know that there are over 1,200 different types of tomatoes in just one garden in France? And each year they have a tomato festival. And all around this chateau, they have little kiosks where people offer different tomatoes for about 3 weeks. This goes on. And it's unique how different tomatoes are grown. And the lead farmer, this older gentleman who supervises all this and has been his whole life since he was a kid, his family's lived there, he has mastered the tomatoes. I just couldn't imagine 1,200 different types of any fruit. And tomatoes are a fruit, they're not a vegetable. But he made an interesting comment. He said, we know how to harvest a tomato. We know how to harvest a peach. You don't in the United States. And your tomatoes, frequently, you'll grow 5-10 seeds, none will take. He said, here, one seed will cause a plant to grow. He's absolutely correct. Even in organic farming, I frequently put 3 seeds in one hole because, more often than not, one of them, sometimes 2 of them, won't germinate. And that's with organic seeds. In commercial seeds, a lot don't harvest, and the tomatoes are tasteless. They taste like cardboard. They're genetically engineered. And people have adapted to the lack of quality taste, the mouthfeel, the aroma of a really properly grown fruit or vegetable. We eat lettuce that has no taste, tomatoes that have no taste, peaches right now that have no taste. If you notice peaches today, they're just very pithy dry, and frequently brown on the inside. For a simple reason, they were harvested before maturity. Not like going out. I can go out and I'll hold a peach on the vine, and immediately, just by the feel of it, I'll know whether it's ready to harvest because of how the water is drawn to the bottom of the peach and also how much sun has hit it and whether it's really ready. And hence, vine-ripened food is rare in the United States. Everything is harvested at one time, sprayed with the gas to preserve it and hold the enzymes from ripening it prematurely, so then it has a longer shelf life. It doesn't ripen, and the enzymes are what are responsible for a food ripening. And you buy it, and it has no taste. So then we put salad dressings on. All of our food has to have something on it in order to have any taste. So what we're really tasting is not the food that we originally want to eat. It's what we put on it. What people have not noticed is how much of our food is genetically engineered and what they've done behind the scenes, paying Democrats and Republicans through their campaigns, and we have a list of all the Democrats and Republicans who voted for Senate Bill 510 that will virtually eliminate organic gardening in the next 2 to 3 years in its current phase, where they will then begin to get new applications for organic gardening that will include genetic engineering and food irradiation and grown on human sludge, which no one should ever eat, anything grown on human sludge. Just remember, human sludge is manure out of humans. It's fecal matter with all the viruses, bacteria, heavy metals that cannot be filtered out. So what they grow on it becomes a part of that plant. They've been trying to get that listed as organic, but haven't succeeded. Now they will. So all the more reason for us to start a whole new movement to challenge the legitimacy of Senate Bill, the Safety Food Safety Bill, because it's not a legitimate bill. Behind it, genetically engineered manufacturers like Monsanto. Obama's choice, head of the USDA and the food inspection at the all food safety at the FDA, to alumni from Monsanto. Here's the latest from WikiLeaks. Quote, Chris Boom. Recent WikiLeaks cables are typically associated with information leaks related to U.S. war strategy and foreign policy, which has led some people to conclude that leaked information of this nature is a possible threat to national security. But in this case, WikiLeaks cables leaked information regarding global food policy as it relates to U.S. officials in the highest levels of government that involves a conspiracy with Monsanto to force the global sale and use of genetically modified foods. Then ambassador in 2007 to France, Craig Stapleton conspired to retaliate against European countries for their anti-biotech policies. U.S. diplomatic cables released by WikiLeaks revealed the Bush administration formulated battle plans to extract revenge against Europe for refusing to use genetically modified seeds. In the leaked cable, Stapleton writes, quote, Europe is moving backwards, not forwards, on this issue, with France playing a leading role, along with Austria, Italy, and even the European Commission. Moving to retaliation will make clear the current path has real cost to European Union interests and could help strengthen European pro-biotech voices. Quote, listen again, moving to retaliation. Ambassador Stapleton goes on to write, quote, Country Team Paris recommends that we calibrate a target retaliation list that causes some pain across the European Union, since this is a collective responsibility, but that also focuses in part on the worst culprits. The list should be measured rather than vicious and must be sustainable over the long term, since we should not expect an early victory, unquote. Now, we've had Jeffrey Smith on this program. Quote from Jeffrey Smith, this lays bare the mechanics of that effort. We have Craig Stapleton, the former ambassador to France, specifically asking the U.S. government to retaliate and cause harm throughout the European Union. And then 2 years later, 2009, we have a cable from the ambassador to Spain from the United States asking for intervention there, asking the government to help formulate a biotech strategy and support the government. Members of the government of Spain that want to promote genetically engineered products should be supported. And here they specifically indicate they sat with the director of Monsanto for the region and got briefed by him about the politics of the region and created strategies with him to promote the GMO agenda, unquote. Keep in mind that Hillary Clinton was a major and is a major promoter around the world as Secretary of State of genetically engineered crops and a great supporter of Monsanto. Obama, the same. Bush, the same. In fact, the entire administration, the same. Why this is a problem? Because the United States government, as now secret official policy, is aligned itself with the makers of genetically modified organisms in food and animals to punish any country that does not accede to genetic engineering in a black op operation. So now, how do you punish a country? You bring in the black ops. You bring in the small c conspiratorialists, those who actually do the dirty work. And you cause suffering till someone in the government finally says, okay, enough, we'll go along with genetic engineering. But the people of America don't want genetic engineering. The people of Asia certainly don't want it. South America, they don't want it. No one wants genetic engineering. And 200,000 people in India have committed suicide, farmers, because they tried the genetic engineered cotton crop and it didn't work. And they lost their farms. And as a result, out of embarrassment, they drank the pesticide, frequently drinking the very pesticide sold by Monsanto. But here's the other side of it. The actual science of genetic engineering, and this is something I know well because I'm just finishing a major documentary on this, in Monsanto, you're the bad guys, and you deserve your day in court. You've been in court how many times? I have it all detailed, and just one of your fines was $700 million? Well, people don't realize how much damage this company has done to people and nature. And it's time that our government be shown to be co-conspirators in force-feeding the world genetic engineering. This is just another form of globalization, privatization, and corruption. And we can't address it if we don't know about it. WikiLeaks allowed us to know the truth. Our government lies all the time about everything. And on this case, we've caught them. All the more reason that we should resist genetically engineered anything, because the studies show it causes birth defects, it causes cancer, it causes all forms of abnormalities in the test cases. And yet that's all kept from the public. We know the FDA's in bed, and the CDC, and the USDA, with big agritech. Next up, if that wasn't the worst that could happen, President Obama has proposed significant cuts in funding for organic conservation programs. Last year, according to Ethan Huth, 44 North Dakota farms and ranches were able to either convert to organic, which is a good thing, or improve organic production methods thanks to the U.S. Department of Agriculture's grant programs like the Environmental Quality Incentives Program. But these and other programs that promote organic conservation are now being cut by the Obama administration. At the same time that they're allocating billions of dollars to the big agribusiness and genetic engineering businesses, the small $50 million, and that's all it is, 50 for the entire country, for organic initiative, is being cut. So once again, hold a person accountable not just to what they say, but what their programs actually do. So talking about we want people to eat healthier, no you don't. If you did, then you would support organic initiatives. It would allow people to go and transition from standard farming to organic farming and localized farming. And the small little piddling subsidy we gave for the entire farming movement in the United States is now being cut, but not a penny is cut from Big Agra. Once again, I look at the reality, not the politic, but the reality directly tells me what the politic is. Separately on health and nutrition, eating orange and dark green vegetables is linked to a longer life. Now, this is very positive because we've known this for a long time, but it says eating carrots and sweet potatoes and green beans may be tied to a less disease and longer life. And this was based upon what we've talked about a long time here, that is stopping oxidative stress. When you eat a bad food, let's say a hamburger, french fries, pizza, coffee, soft drinks, you create excess oxidative stress. The oxidative stress in turn increases free radicals, and they in turn damage your DNA. And the more damage you have to your DNA, the more disease you will produce. You just don't know whether it's going to be diabetes from your pancreas, or liver failure, or kidney disease, heart disease, but it's going to cause damage. This study of 15,000 people participating in the National Health Nutrition Examination Survey showed that the more fruits and vegetables with rich colors, the less people were affected in a bad way. Quote, alpha-carotene has a lot of overlapping chemical properties with beta-carotene as well as other mechanisms. This was from Harvard School of Public Health who reviewed the results. In fact, it's hard to disentangle the two from each other. They tend to travel together. They're talking about when you have more carotenoids. And I'm saying carotenoids are only one small fraction. There are thousands and thousands of chemicals in our foods. We haven't even a clue about what they do. That's why eating the whole food or its juice or its powder is what is essential. And get away from the processed diet. But now they're saying what we've been saying all along. Eat healthy fruits and vegetables and live a longer life. I'm Gary Knoll, back in a moment with our issues of the day. Please stay with us. Welcome all of you from all over the world, and from Sweden, who emailed this morning saying that he has his whole class listening each day, and I thank you for doing that. He said it's a classroom on the air, and they use it. Well, we're grateful for that and glad to help them. From our environmental section today, this is Mike Adams, Health Ranger. America's breadbasket aquifer running dry. Ah, where'd we hear that? How about 4 years ago? Now, if you understood the geography of the United States, you go, let's start up where this aquifer begins in South Dakota. Now, right below South Dakota is Nebraska, and then below Nebraska is Kansas, and over to the west is Colorado, and to the north of that is Wyoming. And then you drop down to New Mexico and Oklahoma and finally Texas. That's the largest aquifer in the United States. It's under the breadbasket because Nebraska, Kansas, South Dakota, that's where we grow a lot of our wheat and corn. And I said at that time that it was dropping in water so fast from commercial, agricultural, and personal usages that it couldn't be replenished and it would finally go dry. And then what are you going to do when you have the largest aquifer in America going dry? Here's the latest on this quote. It's the largest underground freshwater supply in the world, stretching from South Dakota all the way to Texas. It's underneath most of Nebraska farmlands, and it provides crucial water resources for farming in Colorado, Kansas, Oklahoma, and even New Mexico. It's called the Ogallala Aquifer, and it's being pumped dry. Without this aquifer, America's heartland food production collapses. No water means no irrigation for the corn, wheat, alfalfa, and other crops grown in these states to feed people and animals. And each year, the aquifer drops another few inches as it is literally being sucked dry by tens of thousands of agricultural wells that tap into it across the American heartland. This problem it's not being recharged in any significant way from rainfall or rivers. This is so-called fossil water because once you use it, it's gone forever. It's disappearing now, according to the latest research, faster than ever. In some regions along the aquifer, the water level has dropped so far that it has effectively disappeared. Places like Happy, Texas, where a once booming agricultural town has collapsed to a population of just 595. All the wells drilled there in the 1950s tapped into the Ogallala Aquifer and seemed to provide abundant water at the time. But today, every one of those wells have run dry. Happy, Texas has become a place of despair. Dead cattle, wilted crops, once moist soils turned to dust. And Happy is just the beginning of this story because the same agriculture tragedy will be repeated across Oklahoma, Nebraska, Kansas, and other parts of Colorado in just the next 20 years. That's a hydraulic fact. Water doesn't magically reappear in the aquifer. Once it's used, it's gone. There used to be, quote, 50,000 head of cattle. Now there's under 1,000. That's according to the newspaper down there. Graze them on wheat, but the feedlots took all the water, so we can't grow wheat. Now the feedlots can't get local steers, so they bring in cheap, unwanted milking calves from California and turn them into burger if they can't make veal. It doesn't make much sense. We're heading back to the Great Dust Bowl. Now, here's the larger issue. It's not a problem that's unique to America, by the way. The very same problem is faced in India, where fossil water is already running dry in most parts of the country. It's the same story in China, also, where water conservation has never been a top priority. Even the Middle East, it's facing its own water crisis. This has caused food prices to skyrocket, leading directly to the civil unrest and the riots and even the revolutions we've seen taking place there over the last few months. A lot of people said, that they're looking for the new leader. No, they're not. They're hungry, and they want work. And that is a problem. The problem is called aquifer depletion, and it's a problem that spans the globe. It means that today's cheap, easy food grown on cheap fossil water simply isn't sustainable. Once that water's gone, the croplands that depend upon it will dry up. Following that, erosion kicks in, and the winds blow away the dry soils in a Dust Bowl type scenario. A few years later, what was once a thriving agricultural operation is transformed to a dry, soilless death pit where nothing lives. So that's what's coming at us, and that's why we should have a national mandate to look at our resources and how much we have left, be honest about it, and what do we need to do to protect what we have. When I was looking for my sustainable home farm project, which I've been doing for 5 years, the very first thing I look for is aquifer. And it has to be a Jurassic aquifer. I don't want one just like this, that one day it's there and the next day it's not. And then what do? People don't pay attention to the basics. Now, a commentary from Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. First, my own thoughts. Almost everywhere you turn in the media, left and right, you hear a debate either for or against challenging entitlements. Now, what are the three biggest entitlements? Well, it's simple. Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. The Republicans on the one side and those blue dog Democrats or corporate Democrats that support them say, we've got to make reforms, i.e. major cuts. On the other side, we say, hold on a second. Why don't we cut where we can really save a lot of money? I've suggested the military-industrial complex and subsidies for major corporations that don't need that in order to survive and make a profit. And that, I've said, and I have the figures to document it, and I'm very scholarly in my research, is $2 trillion a year. I can show anyone in this audience, I can show anyone on Capitol Hill at a hearing tomorrow, where we could cut $2 trillion immediately per year, and it wouldn't affect the average American at all. And yet we refuse to do that. And what are they angling for? They're angling to get into your Social Security. And why? Because there's a pot of gold for Wall Street. And that's what Sarah Palin and the other people are trying to get you to believe, that we have to cut the entitlements. I say reform Medicare and Medicaid, absolutely. Why? Because there's massive fraud, and also with Medicare, the pharmaceutical companies wrote the actual law. And therefore, we could save $200 billion a year in Medicare if we allowed hospitals and VA to order in less expensive generic drugs instead of the very high, overpriced, very profitable drugs that they wrote into law. They control how much a state pays on drugs and which drugs they get, not the state, not the doctors. So that could be reformed. Now to Paul Craig Roberts. Quote, the American empire is failing. A number of its puppet rulers are being overthrown by popular protests, and the almighty dollar will not even buy one Swiss franc, one Canadian dollar, or one Australian dollar. Despite the sovereign debt problem that threatens European Union members, Greece, Ireland, Spain, and Portugal, it requires $1.38 of an American dollar to buy 1 euro, a currency that was just issued at parity with the United States dollar. The U.S. dollar value is likely to fall further. By the way, aside, I believe that in the next 2 years, mark my words and listen to what I'm saying, I believe in the next 24 months that the U.S. dollar will drop between 15 to 30% in value once the BRIC nations and Canada and Switzerland implement a mixed currency as a backup reserve. Therefore, no one has to get the dollar to engage in reserve. And the dollar will drop like a lead balloon because we will have all this massive overspending by the Federal Reserve and we won't have anything to back it up. That's my own thoughts on this after studying this. Anyhow, indeed, the deficits are likely to be substantially larger than anyone has forecast. The military security complex, about which President Eisenhower warned us a half a century ago, is more powerful than ever and shows no inclination to halt the wars for power for the U.S. The cost of these wars is enormous. The U.S. media, being good servants for the government, only reports the out-of-pocket or current cost of the war, which is only about one-third of the real cost. By the way, this was the first radio station program in the United States that showed you that the real cost each year was about $1.3 trillion. That has now been independently confirmed. When I stated this a year ago, people thought, well, where'd you come off that figure? All government figures show $600 billion, $700 billion. No, they weren't. Here's what they did not include. Care for those who are wounded remain, the cost of lifelong military pensions for those who fought in the wars, the replacement cost for destroyed equipment, the opportunity cost for the resources wasted in war. The true cost of the American, quote, illegal Iraq invasion is $3 trillion. And by the way, we had confirmed that because we filmed Dr. Joseph Stiglitz, who won the Nobel Prize for the upcoming Wall Street film, and that has been subsequently confirmed by him. The same for the Afghan war, which is ongoing. There is not enough non-military discretionary spending on the budget to cover costs of both wars. As long as you're spending $1.2 trillion annually out of the budget, then the budget is off limits as far as cutting the military. Nothing can be done about the U.S. budget deficit except to renege on obligations to the elderly, confiscate private assets, or print enough money to inflate all of our debts. The other great contribution to the U.S. deficit is the offshoring of production for U.S. markets. This practice has enriched corporate management, large shareholders, and Wall Street. But it has eroded the tax base and thereby tax collections of local, state, and federal governments, halted the growth of real income for everyone but the rich, and disrupted the lives of those Americans whose jobs were sent abroad. When short-term and long-term discouraged workers are added to the U.S. in measure of unemployment, the real unemployment rate is 22%. A country with more than one-fourth of its workforce unemployed has a shrunken tax base and a feeble consumer purchasing power. To put it bluntly, the $3 trillion the cost of the Iraq war, we're not counting Afghanistan, that's going to be another $2 trillion, $5 trillion. Yep. Is over 20% of the size of the entire U.S. economy. In other words, the Iraq war alone cost Americans one-fifth of the year's gross domestic product. And instead of investing the resources which would have produced new jobs and sustained old jobs, helped people increase their wages, and eliminated the insolvency for states and local government, the U.S. government wasted the equivalent of 20% of the production of the economy in blowing up infrastructure and people in foreign lands. The U.S. government has spent huge sums of money committing war crimes while millions of Americans were thrown out of their jobs and foreclosed on their homes. Why? Well, they're looking at this from a global perspective. Are they going to cut back on any of this? These are my own thoughts now. No. They want to go after Social Security. They're going to make you believe that Social Security is the problem. It is not. Now, I'm going to share something with you that is probably, unless you're really up to date on this and you've done your homework, you wouldn't know this. Because if you listen to all the talking economists on television, they've all gotten this wrong. They say Social Security is completely solvent, got plenty of money. That is not true. It's not true at all. Here is the facts. We have, they're calling about, you know, redoing Social Security. According to the government's own OASDI and HI reports, for 2010, Social Security, between 1984 and 2009, the American people contributed $2 trillion, that is $2,000 billion, that's $2 trillion more to Social Security and Medicare in payroll taxes than it paid out in benefits. So do you follow me now? The American people, they paid, between them being matched by their employers, $2 trillion more than anyone took. All right? That was a big surplus. What happened to that surplus $2 trillion? The government spent it. Did anyone tell you that? Did you know that? No, you did not. Over the past quarter century, $2 trillion in Social Security and Medicare revenues have been used to finance wars and pork barrel projects by the U.S. government. And depending upon the assumptions about population growth and income growth and other factors, Social Security continues to be in the black until about 2025 or 2035 under the high cost or intermediate assumptions and the current payroll tax rate of 15.3% based upon the revenues paid in and the interest on those surplus revenues. Now, under the low cost scenario, this means that that we produce a surplus of about $31.6 trillion by 2085. Now, Paul Craig Roberts was Assistant Secretary of the U.S. Treasury, and they did the analysis and found how to keep it solvent so there would always be a surplus, no matter how many people retired. It could handle it. But Reagan, Clinton, Bush all raided Social Security surplus. They spent the money, and now they don't have $2.6 trillion to put back in. So they just lied about it. Now they want to privatize it. Understand the truth. The truth is they stole from the American people their savings and to fight these wars. How do you like that? That's why they're trying to say, we got to reform. No, don't reform Social Security. Don't touch Social Security. You've touched Social Security. You've stolen from Social Security. I believe we should hold each of these people who authorized this accountable for crimes against humanity, because these are monies that were supposed to be exclusively used for the retirement of people and not spent on wars, criminal wars, torture-based wars, lies and deceit wars. This is a crime of an enormous proportion, but you don't hear it being talked about either on the left or the right. Well, get up to speed, do your homework, have a little scholarship on the left, and make this a major issue. Give back our $2.6 trillion with interest. It's not yours, warmongers. It's ours. We paid into it. And don't privatize any of it. And stay away from Medicare and Medicaid. Why don't you go over and suck up your buddies who are spending $1.3 trillion on illegal wars and tell them, fellas, we got to stop this and take back $1 trillion a year. You'll have $300 billion left over, more than enough to protect us from any possible enemy, and then start balancing the budget the right way. It's so simple. This is so simple that an 8-year-old child can understand it. But it's too complicated for the media and the members of the Congress. I'm Gary Noll, back in a moment. I'd like to welcome you all. I'm Gary Noll. We're going to go to something about the Federal Reserve tomorrow I'm going to do a segment on one of the most insightful commentaries I've heard anyone do about why the Supreme Court just ruling that vaccine manufacturers cannot be sued. Why this is just as bad at one level of getting carte blanche to the vaccine makers as was Citizens United giving carte blanche for any government or corporation to buy an election. And by the way, just so you understand how they buy election, Goldman Sachs can borrow any amount of money, billions, hundreds of billions of dollars from the Federal Reserve at zero interest. They can use that money any way they want. They can turn around and buy politicians. They can create front groups to support that. People for a democratic society, right? And we vote for these candidates for mayor, governor, president. All that money can go Goldman Sachs. And now they can buy elections. Now, as we speak, we're filming in Berkeley. And then I got to fly later to Atlanta. Those of you who are in Atlanta, I'll be on Atlanta PBS tonight premiering two new documentaries, one at 7, one at 9. And it's a long day, traveling and filming all day. But we're filming Robert Reich and about 12 really heavyweights for finishing up filming today of our film on Wall Street after 3 years. But understand that's how they get away with all this, because the public doesn't know all the facts. And by the way, tomorrow evening, I'm going to be at Rutgers University, Newark Campus, 350 Dr. Martin Luther King Drive, Paul Robeson Campus Center. That's all you need to know, Paul Robeson Campus Center and on the ground floor, for the final meeting of the school where all the teachers, parents, and students underwent a four-month health program. I just got their medical records this morning, sent to me of all their blood chemistries and blood pressures and all this, and blood sugars. Phenomenal results. But we're going to actually film it tomorrow. Any school teachers, principals in the audience, or physicians who would like to attend, it's free, and it starts at 5 o'clock. Okay? In studio, before we go to our phone calls, let's open up our lines right now, because I'm sure that just that commentary alone and issues is important and people would like to address it. Call us at 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Anywhere where you can dial a phone, that's a toll-free number in North America and South America, give us a call. We'd like to hear from you now. And in studio is Jason. Hi, Jason.
Good afternoon, Gary.
What are the issues you want to deal with quickly?
Actually, I heard you speaking about filming, and I was wondering how was filming with David Bollea yesterday.
Imagine having a 3.5-hour nonstop conversation with Picasso.
It's nice.
He is quite simply, he's America's greatest chef. He is quite simply one of the most provocative thinkers of our time. And when I'm behind a camera, I'm hopeful that the person will share with us some gems. I look for 5 points that I call remarkable comments in an interview, and to me that's a success. He had 50.
Wow.
I won't go into him now, but when the final film, well, I filmed him 3 times now. And his wife came over afterwards and said, "Are you aware the only person David's ever allowed to do a full film?" I said, "No. Most famous chef, I'd have thought there'd been 100. No, not one." I said, "Why not?" Because he believes that anyone wanting information from him should be a person who is themselves given information. And most people just couldn't keep up with where David's mind goes. And you'll understand why when we get into it. I'll tell you one thing he did at the end of it. He says people have lost their sensitivity to the energy going into their body. I agree with him. He said, "Try this kombu." Okay, I tried the kombu. It's a Japanese seaweed. He said, "Now, there are all types of water in here. I can tell you which water was used in the broth." I'm thinking, whoa, and he did.
Wow.
9 different waters blindfolded in a kombu, and he could tell which water. That's the level of sensitivity.
That's amazing.
That's the degree of mastery of aromas, not taste. Remember, you can only taste what you can smell. We had a whole discussion upon the importance of smell, what we're not smelling in our society. Anyhow, it was a wonderful interview, and in about 3 months, I'll have the film finished.
What great, else? Great. Well, also, every week we keep improving at a tremendous rate, Gary. Just this week on downloads alone, we've added 10,000 listeners. we would like to thank those listeners very much for continuing to come to PRN. And also, with that in note, we're starting a new show tonight at 8 p.m. It's called Cheater in the Rude. It's a political comedy show in the vein of a Stephen Colbert, kind of our own little Stephen Colbert. And it's a great show. Please check it out tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
On the Progressive Radio Network.
Yes,
thank you. Well, I'm glad to hear. I got the word yesterday that just downloads. Last week it was 287,000 new listeners. That level of growth, it's exponentiating, and that means millions upon millions, and I thank those people, because it's all word of mouth.
That's right.
And all over the internet. Let's go to JB in Newark. Hi, JB. You're on the line.
How's it going? How's it? KB. Yeah. I was listening to your commentary, and what you were talking about the aquifers is quite relevant to me, because I live up here in northern New Jersey, and I've been starting gardens around. I work as a landscaper, and helping people start in their gardens. And up here, we don't really have too much left in by the ways of aquifers, and what we do have is pretty much is like groundwater runoff and things like that. And so when I spoke to my friends about the aquifers and how quickly they were being depleted, most of them, one, didn't even know that most of the fresh water that we have in America comes from aquifers. And then number two, that rainwater does not replenish them. They just think, oh, it's going to rain, so it's not going to be a problem. And you know, it's just astounding. Like, maybe out of 10 people that I speak to, maybe one or two realize anything that you just said. And, it's astounding to me, because that's how most of us, sustain our living here in America.
Well, what we're doing is this. We're putting up the articles on the website, progressiveradionetwork.com, by issue. So if it's on aquifers, you'll see every prominent article to educate you about what aquifers are, where they're at, how they're refilled or not refilled, where the big hotspots are, how long we have before certain aquifers run dry, so you can educate yourself. If it's on genetic engineering, we'll have videos. If it's on gas fracking, we'll have films and articles and organizations throughout the world that specialize in helping people go to a call to action. But before you go to a call to action, you need information. And we are assimilating thousands upon thousands of documentaries, articles, texts, experts, so then you can have a whole list of people you can confer with. It's time to organize. Without proper organization on issues, nothing gets done. It's time to globalize the unifying forces, so that if we're fighting an issue in the United States like genetic engineering, we can join those people who have already been well ahead of the curve, like Dr. Shiva in India, or those others in Germany, where they banned it, and France, where they fought it and won. So we need to unify on themes, leaving out all politics, all race, all religion. Stick with the issue and join in friends. There's something that I want you to know. If you win the argument, you lose the relationship. We shouldn't be seeking to show that our side is right and all other sides are wrong. We have to be patient, tolerant, and open ourselves up to different points of view and see where we can have a common theme to have a common outcome. In that regard, Jason's still in studio. Jason, you know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see a new radio show. The Green Tea People's Party program. All right? Okay, I want to see that. The Green Tea People's Party, meaning if you are a progressive libertarian, that means cutting off that part of the ideology that denies the virtue of helping people who need help. If you are a conservative, and there are many very good and very progressive conservatives, progressive liberals, progressive greens, not all greens are progressive, not all constitutionalists are progressive, but the more progressive, joining those voices together so there's a table where everyone has a seat, and unifying your strengths so you have one common theme. Let's get progressive people into positions where they can make positive change and not compromise under the existing two-party system. Okay.
Excellent. Well, why don't I just give him my phone number real quick?
Yes.
So 646-926-5428. Please give me a call and let's see if we can get a great new show on the Progressive Radio Network.
See, in my world, Jason, you don't have to use one. Can. You know, can we? Yes, we will.
Well,
all right. Just, so start with the concept of yes. See, if you really want to have everything grow in life, start with yes. How can I make your life better? Yes. How can we get this done? Yes. How can I help you as a human being?
Yes.
That's how I believe we should start our conversations and how we should respond with people instead of the no, what do you want? No, don't bother me. No, go to the back of the line, which is so dominant today. Well, no, you're not Jewish enough or Catholic enough or white enough or black enough or... No, I'm just a human being, and that's all I look at. I don't care about anything else. Everything else is your prerogative. But let's share. So let's get this going. All right?
Excellent,
we will do this.
We definitely will.
We will have a show up within 4 weeks.
Yes,
okay?
Sir. Definitely will.
So everyone who has a point of view, who would like to see a point of view that is progressive, not just whining and moaning. Everybody can complain.
Right.
No, not whining and moaning. You got a lot of shows on the air that just whine and complain. I want shows that... really get solutions that all of us, remember, a solution has to be universal, not just local. And yet that goes against the notion that all politics are local. I'm not looking at the politic. I'm looking at what can supply a solution that everyone benefits from. This whole idea that my tribe, my group, my guild, my sorority, my fraternity will benefit from it, but not you, is how we ended up with class division. Very wealthy, very poor. We need where, how can we all benefit? All right? So as of today, put the word out, and within 4 weeks, we will have a program that is a unifying force for all the disparate minds who don't feel comfortable where they're at and need a place that's going to grow. Okay?
Have a home here.
Let's say hello to Toby from Queens. Hi, Toby.
Hi, Gary. I'd like your input on this. I think that they're starting all these wars, the government, just to control union workforce and cut from their benefits and their retirement. And also, I think, you know, the Democrats, all they want to do is tax you, and the Republicans, all they want to do is start war and get the big business. Tell me what you think about it.
I think that in the larger scheme, you're right. The trouble is... the Democratic and Republican Party have been substantially co-opted by corporate mega interests that only look at their own needs. I don't believe any of those are looking to hurt anyone, to denature the environment with intent, but the consequences of people who have no moral equation, no spiritual empathy in any of the decisions they make mean that people will be hurt. They'll create products that... intentionally hurt people, the product can only hurt people, like synthetic hormone replacement therapy, or cigarettes, or, you know, artificial sweeteners, or pesticides. And the outcome is that nothing will change because the people who are in power, got in power, or stay in power because they've allowed themselves to be bought. We need independence, and the only way you can change a system is not by reforming it. You have to completely change it. And you've got to get rid of the Democrats and Republicans, all of them, in order to get people in who represent the people and say, no more campaign money allowed from anyone under any circumstance, and only elections must be publicly funded 100% with 3 months limits on their campaigning, and everyone given the same opportunity to present their papers, their positions, and their information, and have lottery select who will be doing debates so we can see who's most qualified and elect those people, and then make it against the law, to ever lobby by any corporation. The only people allowed to see their legislators are individual citizens on their own behalf. Then watch how government changes. Thank you very much. Paula from Florida, you're on. Hi, Paula. Speak
up. Friday, you mentioned the value of the American dollar dropping, and you brought it up again today. With that said, what do we, the American people, do to keep our money safe? Right now, my inheritance is invested in localized CDs, and I also have a smaller chunk invested in gold. What do we do?
Well, it is my belief that the price of gold will double.
Okay.
That is my belief. I believe that silver will double. Silver is actually rarer than gold.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that you're going to ultimately have to look at currencies around the world that are more stable. The Canadian dollar is more stable. The Swiss franc is more stable.
Okay.
The Brazilian currency is more stable. The UN is more stable in China. So, unfortunately, for those people who think that everything's fine, it is not. Everything's going to stay solvent. It won't. I wished I were wrong, but everything tells me that when the reserve currency status of the United States dollar is finally challenged over the next 2 to 3 years, the dollar will drop by at least 30% and probably larger, and then we will go into hyperinflation and hyperdeflation simultaneously, meaning the cost of buying something will increase, the value of what you bought will decrease. So if you bought a home, it's going to drop in value, and that's why I believe that people should be as solvent as possible, as liquid as possible. I would stay away from stocks.
I have none of those.
Good. And I would also stay away from any state bonds. You're going to see a lot of states and local municipalities going broke. States can't go broke, but they will become they can forfeit the right to repay those bonds, which historically they have, even during the Great Depression. And I believe many states will do that, because by constitutional statement, they must balance their budget. They won't be able to do that. Most states won't be able to balance their budget. But do you know that if the United States government stopped paying for the war in Iraq and Afghanistan for 1 year, that would pay the entire deficit of every state in the United States? Entirely. 100%, and help the states, local communities get out of the jam. But that is how warped and perverse our values are today. Paula, thank you very much. I'm Gary Nall. We're out of time. I want to thank you all for taking your time to listen. I didn't get to everyone. Our calls are just blasting out here. Tomorrow, I'll be back in time to do our show, and I'll take on more calls tomorrow. Thank you all very much. Have a nice day.
In our New York City studio. The producer is Richard Gale. The engineer is Matt Bogart. All shows are archived by Joe Kempf. The chief archivist is Sharon Pride, and the program director is Jason Taubenfeld.